I titled tonight's lesson, or talk rather, Teach a Man to Fish. I found it a happy coincidence that Josh spoke Sunday morning about knowledge and the sufficiency of Scripture, because truly the Scriptures are sufficient. But they're useless if you don't know them. And we can be destroyed for our lack of knowledge. And even in knowing them, they're useless if we don't act on them, if we don't know how to act on them, if we don't know how to apply them. We have to have a good discernment and knowledge if we believe in God's commandments. And I suppose I'm getting old. I have to say getting old. I can't say old or Tippy will get upset with me. I'm getting old. But these thoughts started percolating again in my head because there are these people that I've always thought about as children who are going off to college now. And I'm seeing way too many of them fall by the wayside. And we are called to be ready to give an answer for the hope that's within us. And many, when they give their answer, are coming from a position of pure feeling or a position of tradition, and rather than having that tempered with knowledge and logic and reason and wisdom. And what risk is there in doing that? Well, it's that your feelings may change. And when they do, what do you have that guards against you turning down a path that seems right to you, but whose way leads to destruction? Well, we have the path that the noble Bereans took, that whenever a new idea pops into our head or is presented to us, we should study the Scriptures to see if that idea is good, if that idea is true. But that's not enough. We are to steep ourselves in the Word of God. We have to prepare. We have to teach our children, and each other for that matter, to pre-consider categories of ideas and actions. All right, Justin, what are you talking about? How about an example? There was this girl in the dorm that I was in college, and I overheard her talking to some people saying that she wasn't going to go to a dance because it was against her religion. And I thought, good for her. But I thought wrong, because it wasn't good for her. It actually turned out quite horribly for her. And it turned out horribly because that pledge to avoid the dance because it was against her religion, it had no root in knowledge. It had no root in wisdom. So, it was a couple months later, there was a party that was going to happen in one of the common rooms. And so they were going to have free food, and that's all you need to get college students to come to something, is free food. There was going to be free food, and there was going to be a movie, but there wasn't enough place for the whole dorm to come down in this common room and sit down, so they came up with this idea. They were going to bring mattresses down from the other room so that people wouldn't have to sit on the hard floor. But there wasn't going to be enough room to bring everyone's mattress down in the common room, so people were going to have to share mattresses when they sat or lied down and watch this movie in a dark room. Well, you can probably see where this is going. But she didn't. She honestly didn't. And she didn't see the inherent danger. She didn't see the risk. And it was because, in large part, that she never saw the inherent danger and risk in something like dancing. She had accepted dancing, that you couldn't dance, as an arbitrary rule. We come to church on Sundays, we take the Lord's Supper, we don't dance, these arbitrary rules. And she hadn't thought about it. And a while later, I asked her why she didn't go to dance, and she again said, because it was against her religion. And I said, why? And she said that the Bible had said not to. And I said, where? And she couldn't find it, because it ain't there. And so I suggested to her, well, maybe dancing wasn't specifically called out, but maybe some aspect of dancing was called out, and that was the reason. And she thought that might be it. And so I suggested, well, maybe it's lasciviousness. And she said, what's that? And I was a little taken aback, because she'd been a Christian for 7 years, and I thought she would know the term. But I explained to her what lasciviousness meant, and she said, yes, exactly, that's why we don't do it. And I said, okay. Now talk to me about what you did on movie night. And she just, her countenance fell. And she didn't say anything. And she, well, that conversation was over. We'll put it like that. She didn't want to talk about that. But it was the same principles. She'd been a Christian for 7 years. She should have had that discussion a long time ago. Probably with her parents, but maybe in a Bible class or something like that. Prior to that, she had no idea why she had been told not to go to dances. And so when I was in college, and again now, and not just like college students, even in assemblies, I see a weakness in wisdom and in application of knowledge, and as Josh suggested, in knowledge itself. And that weakness is capitalized on by the devil. I was thinking about some stuff recently, and I know that some people have been bothered when I've brought up opposing positions in class in the past, and I used to do that a lot more, and I've had some wise counsel from Jerry and PA and Roger and Mark Dean and others. And so I've taken a different tact in class now. But I wanted y'all to know that anytime I've brought up an opposing position, I've always done it out of love. I've always brought up an opposing position or played the devil's advocate, if you will, because I wanted to strengthen our knowledge, our understanding, our wisdom in a safe environment here where we can talk about it and reason together. So that when we face things out in the world, we've pre-considered it, like I said before. That's really what these Wednesday night lessons we're doing are about. I mean, let's think about it, you know. Someone's going to come up and they're going to say something like, millions of years could have happened between the days. And so God did it in 6 days, but not 6 consecutive days. And so how do we respond to that? And we all need to think about those things, and we all need to help each other think about those things. I need it. I need to be able to say, hey, the devil's spitting some stuff at me at work via this coworker. How do I respond to that? Or, you know, I know that we all agree the world was created in 6 days, but the devil's spitting some stuff out at me via this classmate. How do I respond to that? But I'm digressing. Honestly, this congregation does a pretty good job about some of that stuff. There are other congregations that I can't regularly attend because they don't. Because it's not taught, honestly. And that's not to toot our own horn. I mean, we've got growth opportunities, to be sure. That's why I'm bringing this lesson, so we can all think about it, and so that we can all do better, myself included. I used 6 scriptures in the beginning of this talk. I didn't cite any book, chapter, and verse, but I used them, and I hope that y'all recognize them. I don't know that I would have caught all 6, but that goes back to the knowledge thing. I was humbled by Jonathan's sermon Sunday evening because I had forgotten nearly half of the stuff that he brought up about Baruch. And it revealed a gap that I've been letting form in my knowledge about God's Word, something that I need to correct. Our Savior referenced Scripture when he was talking, expecting the people around him to know what he was talking about. Didn't really have the concept of book, chapter, and verse back then, but he referenced Scriptures. And people knew he wasn't just talking off the top of his head, he was referencing Scriptures. And we need to have that familiarity, because I tell you right now, there are people out in the world or on Facebook or wherever that will reference Scriptures, and you go look, and I don't know what translation they're looking, but that's not what the Bible says. And if you're not steeped in the Word and you're not familiar with the Word, you may take what they wrote out there as Scripture, believing that you're reading a proper translation. So we need to all constantly reinforce our knowledge and our wisdom. But a beautiful thing is that you really don't need to know that much to begin your walk with Jesus. You need to know that God loves you, that He sent His Son in the form of a man, and that that man lived a perfect life and was killed as a sacrifice to cover your sins. And He rose. You need to know that He requires you to follow Him. You need to turn to Him. You need to confess Him as the Son of God, and you need to be buried in baptism. And we have a place already prepared for that. And then you need to start working on that knowledge and wisdom. And never stop. We would be overjoyed if you started that walk tonight, or if you renewed that walk tonight. And we'd be glad to help you every step along the way. So if you have need of the invitation, please come forward while we stand and sing.